text that Brother Bill read for us this morning is from an old preacher speaking to a young man. Well, I don't know what age Timothy was, but to a younger man, certainly, and giving him responsibility, emphasizing to him that there were things that he needed to consider. And in that particular part of the text, what Paul tells Timothy is that your responsibility is to preach the Word. To preach the Word of God that you've been delivered. To preach it always. To preach it whether they like it or they don't. To preach the truth. To make sure that you prepare yourself and are ready so that you might be able to proclaim the whole counsel. And we're going to talk a little more about some of these things as we look this morning at the idea of good preaching. I suspect that whenever somebody says good preaching, all of you have something that comes to mind. Maybe some of you, like me, think back, oh yeah, brother so-and-so, he was just great. He was fantastic. He was easy to understand. He spoke in a plain way. I could always get something out of his sermons. Maybe, if I'm really lucky, some of you think, well, Dan does a good job every now and then. That's not what I'm looking for. I want us to think about, what does God think about preaching? What is it that God sees as good preaching? And so we will consider some passages and some things that I think will help us to recognize and put our emphasis on God preaching. When the Apostle Paul came to the Corinthian brethren and he wrote to them in regards to how he came to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in the first two verses he says, "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Sometimes when we think of good preaching, we think, well, that guy's able to word things just exactly right. He uses the right size of words, the right quantity of words, and he really gets his point across. Paul said, "I'm not worried about the words other than whether they are Christ and Him crucified." It's not flowery speeches. It's not fancy phrases. I don't want to take anything away from some of my preaching brethren who spend a lot of time making sure they get that phrase just right to get the point across they want to get across. I understand that sometimes. But our focus, whether we're talking about preaching the gospel from the pulpit or preaching the gospel in our lives as we go about our daily walk, our focus needs to be on, is it what God wants in presenting His message? And of course, that's where we begin this morning. Does it please God? Good preaching pleases God. And if y'all didn't get the point that Dan preaches to himself, maybe this lesson will emphasize that a little bit more as we look at these things. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Galatian brethren, said in the first chapter in verse 10 beginning, "Am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Christ Jesus." I think the point that the Apostle Paul makes here is the best starting place for wondering whether the things that we are presenting to others as we present the gospel are good preaching. Does it please God? Am I trying to satisfy God and His Word, or am I trying to just make men feel better? There are certainly ways that we could present the gospel that would make everybody feel good about themselves. But in order to do that, we would have to leave off some of the things that God expects for us to talk about. We could spend all our time talking about how God is going to help you through life. We could have platitudes and phrases that we put up on the screen, such as, I have a plan for you. You ever seen that one? Well, go back and read the context there in Jeremiah where he talks about that plan and how that plan is going to be carried out, or if it will be carried out. And you find it is much different than the way it is presented most often. Certainly, we could go to the Word of God and we could find phrases that would make everybody happy. You will prosper. You're going to have good health. I will save you. We could find all kinds of phrases that would make men happy. But that would not please God, because that would not be teaching all that God wants us to teach. The teaching that pleases God, good preaching, is focused upon doing what God would have us to do, presenting His gospel, just like the Apostle Paul told the Roman brethren, not being ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it's the power of salvation to every man. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Everyone who believes the gospel can be saved. We should not be ashamed of the plain and simple gospel of Jesus Christ. Yet when we listen to many who are preaching today, especially in the more popular religious world, we find that they won't preach the gospel because somebody might be offended by that. We can't let the fact that somebody might be offended keep us from preaching the truth, because we're trying to please God, not man. Because what we're after is saving souls. Whether we're talking about the souls of a congregation of people who have been Christians, many of them for several decades, or we're talking about the soul of the fellow that we meet on the bench in front of Walmart and are able to sit down there and talk to him about the gospel of Christ, or in the doctor's office, or in the hotel lobby, or wherever it may be that we run into folks and have opportunity to talk. Our purpose is not to make people happy with the things of this world. Our purpose is to save their souls so they can understand and know true happiness that is found only in God. Paul told Timothy later in this particular chapter, or in the first letter, actually, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, not 2 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. If we keep our focus on pleasing God in our preaching and teaching, we can save souls. It speaks the truth. Good preaching pleases God because it tells the truth, and it tells all of the truth. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, Jesus told His apostles. And in chapter 17 and verse 17, in that prayer to God, He prayed to God, sanctify them in Thy truth. Your word is truth. And when the Apostle Paul spoke to the Ephesian elders in that last meeting that he had with them on the island of Miletus, he said, I did not shrink from declaring unto you the whole counsel of God. And even when the apostles were told to go and speak in the early days of the church in Acts chapter 5 and verse 20, go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. God expects us to preach all the truth, whether men are happy with it or not. That's part of what Paul is telling Timothy there in our text that was read for us, in season and out of season. Because our purpose is to please God with our teaching. And we deliver this message out of love and care and concern for the soul of each individual that may be listening. Good preaching is delivered with love for the purpose of building up the soul of man, whether we're talking once again about those who have been children of God for many years or those who are just hearing the gospel. Our purpose in presenting that is to build up their souls. The word edify is used many times in the pages of Scripture, and we understand that's what it's talking about, building up. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 14, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We read that passage often in reference to the church, but it is a principle that applies individually as well. The preaching and teaching of the Word of God is for the purpose of building us up to make us mature in Christ as individuals, so that we recognize and understand our responsibilities to God, and we begin to learn more and more about how those responsibilities are laid upon us and what it is that we need to do, not only to save ourselves, but to save others. And the more we hear that word, the stronger we ought to become in that. Just like the more a baby eats and processes and exercises and such, he grows into a mature, full-grown human being. We present the truth so that we might edify the soul. In doing that, we point out the duties that we have, both the duty that we have in initial obedience to the will of God and the duties that will continue as long as we are serving the Lord. With many other words, it says, Peter bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. He continued to emphasize to them the responsibility, the duty was placed upon each of them as an individual. And the same is true of us today. We edify the soul by pointing out the duties and responsibilities that we have. When Paul wrote to the Philippian brethren, therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, so now. Not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And I want to take note, and I know we probably realize this in the back of our minds, but let's bring that to the forefront. Paul was not writing to new Christians. We sometimes read that passage, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, and we want to apply it to those who are needing to become Christians. But Paul is writing to a church that had been a sound congregation of the Lord's people for many years. This was not a new group of Christians, but a group that had been steadfast and stalwart and standing firm for the truth of the gospel. And Paul still told them, work out your own salvation. You've got a responsibility to stay in this race. You've got to keep at it. And of course, as was read in our text this morning in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, good preaching edifies the soul because it corrects and it encourages. Note, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Good preaching tells us when we're wrong and teaches us how to set it right. Good preaching, good teaching may even go to the individual personally and say, you need to do something about this, and here's how you can do something about this. And I mention that because I want us to remember that we're not just talking about the one who stands in the pulpit on Sunday morning and Sunday night, or the one who stands before the Bible class in our Bible classes. We are all preaching to one another, and to those that are around us with the way we live our lives. And good preaching edifies the soul through love, by pointing out responsibilities, by correcting wrongs, and by giving encouragement and strengthening, by lifting up, building one another up so that no one is left behind. Here's a point that hits me so much. preaching is evidence of someone who studies and knows the Word of God. Good preaching is a result of someone spending time reading from the Word of God and learning what those phrases and those words mean so that they can apply it to their own life and can understand it in a way that they can teach it to others. And once again, while I recognize I'm preaching to myself with this, I want to emphasize we're all preaching by our lives. And the only way that our life will be a good lesson to those that see us and watch us is if we spend time in the Word of God. Just like it is not possible to learn the higher levels of you can't even learn the lower levels of math by putting a math book under your pillow and sleeping on it all night long. You got to wake up, pick that book up sometime and read it. Same is true of the Word of God. You got to spend time in God's Word to know what it says and how to apply it. If we're not spending time in the Word of God, studying and increasing our knowledge and understanding, as Peter says, growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we're going to be caught up by the winds of doctrine that float around us. And we're going to get blown away sometimes. We're going to hear somebody take one of those passages like we were talking about in our Bible class this morning and apply their teaching to it. And because we're not grounded in the truth and we don't know what the Bible says elsewhere about those things, we're going to get caught up and blown away from the Lord. We can't be that. We can't be carried about by every wind of doctrine. We need to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. And so with this point, my emphasis is to all of us, good preaching is not enough. We need to study for ourselves. If we want to be the example and the teacher that we can be to the world around us, if we want to teach our children and our grandchildren, we've got to spend time in the Word of God. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 52, Jesus said to them, "Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old." I struggled with that verse for a long time. I had an older gentleman down in Jasper that referred to that verse pretty regularly. And I struggled with it for a while. But finally, I came to the understanding and recognition, and I'm as convinced I'm right as of anything. What Jesus is saying in here is the one who has set his mind upon God, the one who is studying and preparing himself and ready to get to heaven, is the one who spends enough time in the Word of God that he can find all that is said about something. And that's the way that this brother, Henderson, yes, his last name was Henderson, but he's not kin to me. I'll tell you the story he used to tell me about that one of these days if you want to. But the point that he always tried to make is what Jesus tells us here, and this verse emphasizes that we go and we look at everything Scripture has to say about it. And we even look at the things that we've already decided in our mind what it is they say, and we look at how that applies to this particular thing. We go and we look in the Old Testament and see the principles and teachings there. We go look in the New Testament. We read from Peter. We read from Paul. We read from Jesus. We read from Moses. We read from everybody and find everything the Bible says about it. And that'll let us make our decisions about what God thinks. If we just go pick and choose the verse here or there, we're almost guaranteed to miss something. We look at everything together to come to an understanding of the Word of God. And that takes diligence and study. That takes spending time in the Word of God. Referencing and cross-referencing. Now, we've talked about some things that can help us with that. Another thing that we recognize and understand regarding good preaching is that it's going to bring us in opposition to the world. We are guaranteed if we are preaching to please God, if we are preaching to edify and save souls, if we are preaching because we have studied God's Word and we are bringing forth the things that we have found from there, that the world will be against us. Maybe not totally, but there's going to be some things that the world says that are in exact opposition to what God says. Guaranteed. Because God's ways are not the ways of the world. Jesus told His apostles on that final night before He was betrayed in John chapter 15, if you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. The world is going to be opposed to what we teach. Guaranteed. There is no way to make the gospel of Christ sound in such a way that everybody in the world will agree with it. Certainly, we recognize there are a couple of things that stand out, especially in our society today. Lying, cheating, stealing, they're all against the Word of God, yet it seems the world's happy with those things. The Word of God is very plain in regards to its teachings on marriage, divorce, remarriage, sexual immorality, morality, immodesty. All these things are clear in the pages of Scripture. Here's what you need to do. Here's what God agrees with. Here's what God condemns. And in way too many instances than many would like to admit, those things are the opposite of what the world wants. The world says all we need is love. And God says you need to love me enough to just do what I tell you to do. The world says all we need is kindness. God says we need obedience. The world says we need compromise. God says, no, you don't. Not on truth. Here's what it says. Here's what you have to do. Good preaching, whether from the pulpit or from the image we set before our fellow mankind as we walk through this world as Christians, is going to be opposed by the world. Liable to be called names and laughed at, rejected, may lose things. But remember, as Paul told the Galatian brethren, our purpose is not to please men. It is to please God. If we're going to be about pleasing men, we're not with God. Another thing I don't have on the screen here. Good preaching meets the needs of the hearers. Here's the point where I need your help. Well, there's some things that I see, some things that I've learned over the 8 years that we've been here that need to be dealt with, that are talked with from time to time. Some things in the way of encouragement, some things in the way of, I'm really not sure you ought to be doing that. And some of them we have touched on from time to time. But I also recognize that there are some things that are going on in your life that are a trouble, a difficulty, a problem for you that I may not know. And without knowing those things, I may have a hard time dealing with them. I'm confident that anything that's happening in your life, the Word of God can help you with it. But if you're the only one that knows it, how's anybody else supposed to help you? I know it's hard for some of y'all to believe this, but I'm not a teenager anymore. And it's been a long time since I was a teenager. If you want to count, it's been about 40-something years since I was a teenager. And I know things have changed, but they have also stayed the same. My dad told me a long time ago, I went through the same thing you did. And I said, no, you didn't. Well, I said it in my head. I didn't say it out loud. I said it in my head. You don't understand. And it wasn't but about, I don't know, maybe 5, 10 years, 15. I was a little slow. Yeah, he probably did. Because when I applied some of the suggestions that he, well, they were more than suggestions, but I applied them as suggestions, I found out they worked just as well in my instance, in my situation, as they did in his. Even though when we first started talking about it, I thought, no way has he had to deal with this. I mean, he grew up when they were still plowing the field with a mule. He didn't have the same problems and troubles that I did. Yeah, but the principles are the same. Some of the other folks can't believe it, but I'm not old yet. As Brother John said, I might be getting there, but I'm not old yet. This is still coming. So I don't see things from your perspective. I've not gone through the things in life that you went through. So there may be some things that I or some of the other brethren here could help you with. And since good preaching, good teaching is all about edifying and building up and strengthening and encouraging in a manner that's pleasing to God, if there are things that you need to hear, we need to know about it. Nobody's saying that when we give the invitation song this morning, everybody that's got a problem has to come to the front bench and stand up and say, here's what my problem is. Now, if you have a problem, it needs to be dealt with in that manner, certainly. But if you've got something on your mind, something that's been worrying you, maybe a passage of Scripture that you read when you were doing your Scripture reading, I just don't see how this fits today. Or maybe you had something going on with your friends at school, or at the senior center, or at work. Or maybe some of the things that have happened in your life are bearing down upon you really hard and heavy right now. Maybe we can help. And I use the term we because it's not just the preacher. It's the congregation that's here to assist and to help. There are going to be some things that you ladies can help one another with that us guys probably ain't going to understand, because if we see a nail in your head, we're going to say, how do we get the nail out? We're not going to ignore it. When you come to us with something not working, we're going to try to fix it. And sometimes what you need is somebody to help you just get through it. Realize those are differences, and that's why I say we're all working together to help one another. That's a part of fellowship in the local congregation, a part of teaching and instructing and helping one another to grow and to increase. But don't let the fact that you're a teenager and not out of high school yet, or not even in high school yet, keep you from talking to somebody that's already been there. Don't let the fact that your age number is higher than everybody else's around keep you from going and talking to somebody whose age number is less. I don't want to offend anybody by saying, don't let the fact that you're older keep you from talking to younger people. The principles are the same. And I have learned, even recently, that some of the things that I have a little difficulty with, some of the younger men in the world have already come to an understanding of that and are able to help me to know those things and recognize and see those things. Maybe not as much as some of those who have more years and time. It's all about helping one another. Good preaching, good teaching, good fellowship in a congregation is about meeting the needs of one another. Not just physical needs, Those are some of the things we constantly talk about and think about when we talk about meeting the needs of a congregation. But more importantly, the spiritual needs of a congregation. Having difficulty understanding a passage, then talk to somebody and see if they can help you. You want to spend more time in the Word of God? But you're having difficulty getting your focus on that? Then say, hey, Brother Dan, will you plan to come to my house every Thursday night for a month or so we can get started on studying something in particular? Maybe you can help me better understand this situation. Good preaching pleases God, edifies the soul. It comes from study. The world is not going to always agree, but it also needs to meet the needs of those that are listening. And sometimes that can only be done when the listener voices their need. I suspect all of us, all of us pretty much have had children grow up, even y'all run into it already, have some things that you know or had some things that you knew your children were dealing with, but they wouldn't talk to you about what they were. And it frustrated you to no end. You know, the same kind of feeling is among your brethren when they can see that there's something that's giving them trouble, but they can't figure out what it is and you won't tell them. Although I got a whole other side of this good preaching, and we'll get to another time. We're not going to do it tonight, but we'll get to it another time. It's not just about what's presented. It's about being able to present that which is needed. Sometimes it takes interaction on the breath. It's not just about what's presented from the pulpit during the sermon time on Sunday morning. It's about the teaching that we present throughout our lives. Is it pleasing God? Is what I'm doing building up the saints? Is it teaching the lost? And if not, what can I do to make it that way? How can I be better at this? Good preaching comes from the focus on the Word of God, just like a good example of mine comes from the focus on the Word of God. And we need to be careful the kind of sermons that we're presenting to the world around us. If there are things in your life that you're having difficulty with, feel free to talk to somebody about it. We're not going to shame you. We're here. All of us are here to help each other get to heaven in whatever way we can through the Word of God. There is a possibility somebody here this morning has something in your life that you recognize is not pleasing in the sight of God that needs to be set right. You've studied, maybe you've read, maybe you've heard something, maybe even one of the statements made this morning is a prompting and a reminder that, hey, that's not what God wants. You know how to fix that? Prayer. Pray to God and ask Him to forgive those who belong to Christ, those who are His children, who are striving to walk in the light. John tells us that if we will confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all our righteousness. As we made mention in our Bible class this morning, the Apostle Paul told those in Athens, God commands everyone to repent, change, go to God asking to forgive, just like Peter instructed Simon the Lord. And we know that he will. If you're not a child of God, you don't have that privilege. In fact, if you're not a child of God, if you've not been baptized into Christ in order to receive remission of your sins, like Peter told those on the day of Pentecost, you have no hope, because it is only in Christ that we have hope of eternity in heaven. And to get in Christ, we have to be baptized into Christ. We have to put on His death. We have to be buried with Him
rise out of that watery grave in the future, death, burial, and resurrection, and imitate in our baptism as we submit to we, and thereby baptism will also be our sins. It cleanses us, washes away our sins. It is a calling on the name of the Lord to bring us out of the darkness of sin and into the light of His Word, transfer us from darkness into the kingdom of light that belongs to the dear Son of Jesus. If you recognize this morning there's a need for you to do that, opportunity is yours. If we can assist, opportunity is given to you now. Why not come on the standing sinful prayer?